All right. Want to thank everybody for being here this evening. It means a lot to this preacher. Some faces I've seen every single service. I don't know if it's just because you're glutton for punishment or if you love the Lord. I think it's because you love the Lord. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Thank the pastor and his wife for taking thorough care of this preacher and my dad, the hotel, and all the food. We this afternoon met a distant relative of a celebrity. Anybody ever heard of Rachel Ray?
30-minute meals.
30-minute meals. Well, we met her cousin, Gloria Ray. And now Miss Gloria fixed us a wonderful meal and allowed us in their home, and it was a joy. Since we got here and start preaching Sunday morning, six people have trusted Christ as their Savior. Five in the services, and like I mentioned last night, I was able to lead the girl that cleans our room at the hotel. I was able to lead her to the Lord yesterday. And that was a joyous time. The Bible teaches us about two places that a soul can go whenever a person dies. The pastor says we're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27 teaches us this. And as is appointed unto man, once to die. So there is an appointment that you and I must face. And that appointment is called death. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 20. I'm sorry, Luke chapter number 19. I should have, no, wait a minute. Yeah, Luke 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. I'm going to give you the title of the message, and it's not going to make much sense to you when I tell you what the message title is at first. But once we get into the message, you'll understand the title of the message. And it is my prayer that if you don't remember anything else, that you remember the title of this message that's simply entitled, Remember Mikey. Remember Mikey. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you've given to us, Lord, for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the pastor that you've given them. We thank you for the men and the women of the church, that without them, this church would not exist. They help the pastor. They're here, they're faithful, they pray, they invite people as well. We pray, Lord, that as a unity, you would speak to each and every one of our hearts this evening. Draw us close. Use us for your honor and your glory. We'll give you the praise for it all, for it's in your precious name we do pray. Amen. I went to a public school when I grew up, and you've heard a little bit of my testimony. If you've been on my website, know a little bit more about it. When I was 4 years old, I started going to church, and I had made a profession of faith at the time. Never trusted Christ, just prayed and thought my prayer would be good enough. And through the years, I grew up making some acquaintances, and then also making some good friends, that I thought we would grow old and reminisce about how things were way back then. And in school, I had a best friend whose name was Mikey. And Mikey and I, we had a whole lot of fun times together. We were in mostly every class together. We hooked a lot of classes together. We spent just as much time together in school as we could. And in fact, there's a young man that is in the auditorium tonight that actually kind of reminds me of Mikey. And that actually would be Brandon. And I'm going to have Brandon come up here. And Brandon, how old are you, Brandon? Brandon's 14 years old. My friend Mikey, whenever him and I graduated, at the age of 17 and 18 years old, Mikey was still about the same size of Brandon. Now, Brandon's not he's not a big kid, but he's not a small kid either. He's about average size for a 14-year-old. But Mikey was a little bit smaller than most people. And but Mikey and I, we were really good friends. And actually, what I'm going to do, Brandon, I'm going to have you stand over on this side, if you will, please. There we go. And that way the pastor can see as well. And what Mikey would do is, I had my favorite spot in school that I would sit every single morning. It was this big, ugly brown pole that as soon as you would go in the front door, there I would be sitting, and all my friends would be there. Whenever Mikey would come in, Mikey would actually come, and he would lean up against my wheelchair. So I need you to lean up against my wheelchair. I did take a bath about 2 weeks ago, so you don't have to worry about how I smell yet. Right? Mikey would actually come, and actually what Mikey would do is, Mikey would sit down on the chair arm. So why don't you just go ahead and sit down on my chair arm here. Yeah, put your leg up there. And Mikey would actually put his arm around me. I never put my arm around. Now, you got to get a little closer to me. Come on, I'm not going to bite you, I promise. Not yet, anyway. Have I had my rabies shots yet? No, just... You're not going to bite me, are you? No? Okay. And Mikey would come up, and he would sit down, and we would just have a good old time. And in fact, he'd say, let's go. You know what we'd do? What? We'd go. And I mean, we'd go up and down the halls and everything. And I mean, Mikey and I, we had a blast together. You all right there? Yeah. You want to drive and let me sit there?
No.
You sure? Sure, wasn't any chance. Oh, too late. You thought about it too long, okay? And we would go everywhere together. You sure you're holding one?
Yeah.
You ain't going to pull me out of my wheelchair, are you? All right. My underarms don't stink, do they?
No.
Okay, good, because I forgot to use my deodorant tonight. Anyway, so Mikey and I, we had just a blast together, and I love Mikey a lot. But you know what I didn't realize about Mikey is, Mikey had something called leukemia, and none of us in school really knew about it. And his leukemia had actually went into remission, and Mikey was actually a pretty healthy guy. What I'm going to do is, I'm just going to have you stand back up, Mikey. There we go, because you're no longer Brandon. You are Mikey. There we go. Mikey's going to stand there, and... Mikey and I, we graduated together, and on graduation night, guess what Mikey did? Came up, sat in my wheelchair, we rode around in our caps and gowns, and we just had a great time together. I really enjoyed spending time with Mikey. On October the 4th, 1995, we graduated June the 9th, 1995, and September of 95, Mikey and I went to community college together. And we would see each other in the hallways, and Mikey would come up, and he'd put his arm around me and sit in my wheelchair, and we'd go up and down the halls, and we'd just have good times together. And on October the 4th, 1995, my life changed. My life changed as I knew it. I had told my mom, when I turned 18 years old, I am never going to church again. I'll never go back to church. And never is a long time. Never say never. Because my birthday was September the 30th, and on October the 4th, 4 days later, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I knew that moment, if I were to die, I would go straight to heaven. Jesus was my Savior. I continued in community college because that's where I was enrolled. Even though God had called me to preach, I believed that I could just go on and preach and get my general studies there. And one afternoon, my dad came to pick me up, and my class had already gotten over, and my dad was running a little bit late, and there I was. And I believe it was raining outside, and I was sitting in the indoors, and here comes Mikey. Mikey pops himself down on my chair arm with his arm around my neck, and I said, Mikey, what's wrong? He looked like he was kind of down and just kind of not happy. He didn't look very happy. And he says, yeah, it's my girlfriend. Right? Guys, we know about girl problems, don't we? You better not say anything. Your wife's sitting right next to you, brother. He just got a swift elbow in his gut there. And but he says, I'm having girl problems. I said, well, what's going on with you, Mikey? And he said, my girlfriend, all she wants to do is go to church. She's boring. She don't want to go out to the parties anymore. She don't want to go out to the clubs. And she doesn't want to have a good time. And I said, Mikey, I'm having a little bit of a similar situation. I said, that's basically all I want to do now is go to church. And my girlfriend, she wants to go out and party, and I don't want to do those things anymore. I said, maybe you want to switch girlfriends. And but then all of a sudden, I heard something, and what I heard was a voice. And the voice that I heard said this, give Mikey a Bible track. And I said, oh, God, I'm not going to do that. Come on now. I mean, this is Mikey, you know. Mikey's okay. Mikey's cool. And I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to give Mikey a Bible track. He'll be okay. God said, give Mikey a Bible track. And I sat there, continued to talk with Mikey. And a third time, I heard very distinctly within my heart, not with my ears, but with my heart, God saying, give him a Bible track. I bargained with God. And actually, I didn't really bargain with God. I stood up to God and said, God, leave me alone. I say, leave me alone! I don't want to hear it anymore. I say, God, if you leave me alone, I promise you, the next time I see Mikey, I'll give him a Bible track. No ifs, ands, or buts. No arguments about it. I'll probably see him tomorrow or one day next week. I believe it was Friday, and I said, Monday when I see him again, I promise you, God, I will give him a Bible track. Sunday morning, I got up and put on my shirt and my tie and my jacket, and we're going out the door, the good Christian that I was at the time, and always did what God wanted me to do, right? Amen? As every Christian always does. And and one of the girls that lived two doors up from me, she had moved away, around the block or whatever, her and her husband, and she came to her parents' house, and as I was coming out and she was going into her parents' house, she stopped me and she says, hey, did you hear about Mikey? And I said, no, what happened? And I thought maybe, you know, that he was getting engaged or something, or he got a new girlfriend or something like that. She said, he's in the hospital. I said, oh, what's wrong? Did he get in an accident or something? She says, no. She said, Mikey has leukemia, and he's had it for a while, and he was in remission, but it came back. And immediately, I remembered my conversation with God. Leave me alone, is what I said. Right? Next time, I give Mikey a Bible track. So you know what I had to do? I had to go to the hospital. I had to go to the hospital and see Mikey. I said, well, what hospital is he in? Well, you can't, it's not going to do any good. You can't go to the hospital. I said, no, you don't understand. I have authority from a higher power. I have got to go to the hospital. What hospital is he in? She says, you don't understand. You can't go to the hospital. His one lung is already collapsed. His second lung is getting ready to collapse. And only his parents are allowed in to see him. You can't go see Mikey. In the book of Luke, chapter number 16, we read about two men. We read of a man named Lazarus, and we read of a man who was a rich man. Lazarus was a beggar. Lazarus didn't have anything. Lazarus didn't have food, didn't have a place to stay, and he was barely clothed. In fact, he begged for crumbs. In fact, when I was thinking about that earlier, we had a nice meal that Mrs. Gloria Ray had fixed for us. And I was thinking that if the rich man was alive today, he would probably be digging in your trash can as we were in church for food. Just did not have anything. The rich man, the Bible says, teaches us, he fared sumptuously. He ate richly every single day. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He had a big house. He had everything that you could ever offer. Mikey wasn't a poor man. Mikey wasn't a rich man, but Mikey wasn't poor either. Mikey didn't live in Africa where they had to live in a grass field and be rich as far as whether or not they had a blanket with holes in it. Just begging for crumbs that somebody would give them. The Bible teaches us that the rich man in the Bible who was nameless, and I'll tell you why I believe he was nameless here in just a couple of minutes, the Bible teaches us that he was surely rich. I mean, anything he needed, he had it. The Bible teaches us that he was self-righteous. The Bible says that basically he had rejected God when he was here on the earth. And because he rejected God, not only was he surely rich and he was self-righteous, but the Bible teaches us that one day he was sorrowfully rejected. The Bible teaches us that when the rich man died, he was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. So not only do I want you to see Mikey's wealth this evening, number two, I want you to see the wailing of the rich man, the wailing of Mikey. The Bible says in Luke 16, verses 22 through 24, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now remember, as we mentioned a little bit, I believe it was on Sunday, that Jesus, before he shed his blood and applied the blood to the heavenly tabernacle's mercy seat, the people in the Old Testament that had trusted in Christ for their salvation, even before his sacrifice, they couldn't go to heaven. They were saved, but they couldn't go to heaven. The Bible teaches us here that they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. And then the Bible teaches us that after Christ had risen from the dead, some other graves had bursted open as well. Why? Because Jesus had went and ministered to the saints in prison. He had ministered to those people. And after Jesus rose from the dead and took his blood and applied it to the mercy seat, then all of those people, Adam and Eve and Elijah and Noah and Moses and David and all of the Old Testament saints could finally enter the gates of heaven. But here we see in the heart of the earth was the rich man. The Bible says that he died and was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me! You say, well, preacher, I don't like when you scream, and I don't think that the rich man is screaming like that. I mean, the rich man's dignified, right? Now you wish you didn't sit on the front row, don't you?
No, I don't mind.
Right? He said, I just don't think he screamed that way. Well, okay, in the shed of the church, I believe there's a thing of gasoline in there. I want one of the men to go get that. We're going to bring it here, and we're going to use you in the illustration as we douse you in gasoline, light a match, and throw the match on you and watch you burn and see how much you don't scream. Now, I don't think you're going to be burnt. You're helping me. You can't do that. You're Mikey, right? Yeah, we'll let Joe do it. So if you're doused in fire, how loud do you think you'd scream? Just imagine that. He's willing. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." So we learn that whenever a person that dies without Christ goes straight to a place called hell. The Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already." We already went through that verse. We've already covered that verse. But we say, well, if a person dies, then that just ends it. I don't ever have to worry about it again. I'm sad, but that's just about it. But wait a minute. The Bible says in verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death," and where? Hell. Now wait a minute. When a person dies without Christ, where do they go? They go to where? And what does the Bible say here? Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See, there is no more Abraham's bosom. Whenever Jesus Christ rose from the dead and had applied his blood to the heavenly mercy seat, the tabernacle's mercy seat, that allowed the entrance, that enabled them the opportunity to get to heaven. It didn't give them their salvation. They were already saved. As we accept Christ as our Savior in the past sacrifice that he offered, they trusted in the Messiah in the future sacrifice that he would do. And once that sacrifice had been offered and the blood was applied, and once a person dies, according to the book of Corinthians, it teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no more Abraham's bosom. Once we die, once our soul and our spirit leaves our bodies, we are immediately ushered into the throne room of the grace of God. Leaves one place, called hell. Now, I know that many preachers have preached this. I'm pretty sure your pastor has preached this. I know I have. That hell is eternal. Once you're there, there's no escaping. But you know what? That's false. That's actually a false teaching. Because what did we just read? And death and hell did what? Delivered up the dead which were in them. So we learn, as Abraham's bosom was just a holding place for the Old Testament saints, that hell is just a holding place as well. So whenever a person dies, yes, they go to hell. Yes, it's very bad. But there is another thing that they have to do. They had to stand before the judge. Well, that doesn't matter because I won't be there. Who's the judge? Who? The man in the red said it. Jesus. Everybody else said, "God, you're right." But more specifically, Jesus Christ, God the Son. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. I'll teach you. John chapter 5. And see, the Jehovah's Witnesses get this wrong because they say that God the Father is doing the judging. That Jehovah God does the judging. God the Father does not and will not do the judging. Who's the judge? Who will be the judge? Yeah, now that I told y'all. No, just kidding. John chapter 5, verse 22. What's it say? For the Father judges who? No man. Right? But have committed all judgment unto the Son. Look at verse 27. And have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. You know what the Bible is saying here? That God the Father cannot judge. You know why? Because of this. Because God the Father did not live as a man. And if a person dies and goes to hell, whenever they stand here, where we read in Revelation chapter 20, whenever they stand before God, they can almost justifiably, not quite, but almost justifiably, shake their fist in the face of God and say, "You don't understand what I went through because you didn't live as I did." But what's verse 27 say? And it given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's what? The Son of Man. Not just the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. He lived as you and I live today. He faced everything, and the Bible says, yet without sin. So Jesus is the judge. I did get to see Mikey again. I remember I went in, had my Bible track with me, and I went in, and there he was laying there. It's too late. It's too late. Yeah, I got to see him again. To see his soul and spirit had already left his body. I believe because of the things that Mikey believed. Mikey died, was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment. And anything that I could do is lay the Bible track next to the coffin. Doesn't end there, though. At least 1,007 years later, if the rapture were to take place right now, 1,007 years, the event that you and I just read, where death and hell would deliver up the dead, which were in it, is going to take place. Who's the judge? Just like that. Where are we going to be? Are we going to be in a little room off on the side? Are we going to be out in the fields running around and playing? Great white throne, judge. The great white throne doesn't bother me, Pastor, because I won't be there. To be absent from the body is to be present. Not out roaming the fields. Not out kicking up gold dust. Present with the Lord. The judge. People don't realize that as they stand before God, that as these bodies, these people, the souls and the spirit. See, the Bible says that the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I believe that's talking about their physical body. And then the Bible says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I believe that that's the soul and the spirit. And I believe that some supernatural way that God is going to unite their soul and spirit with an eternal body. Not a glorified body. Not a body that is going to be exempt from pain and sorrow and sickness. But an eternal body that will never cease to exist. And I believe one day, at least 1,007 years from now, I'm going to be standing there before God or beside God as Mikey is called. And death and hell delivers Mikey from there. It's something no matter what I do. I can take all the Bible tracts in the world, and I can go and I can open up his grave and I can dump all the Bible tracts down in there. It's not gonna do any good. I can go and lay over top of his gravesite. It's not gonna do any good. Remember Mikey. And I want you to remember Mikey, not because I want you to remember what I have to go through. See, I'm going to have to face that one day. Think about it this evening. How many people do you have in your life that you love and that you care for that you have never told about Christ? Your neighbors. Never told them about Christ. Say, it doesn't matter. If they go to hell, it's not going to affect me a bit. It will. Because I believe God's going to call to their remembrance the people that he had put into their lives, which are you and I. I want you to remember Mikey. Not because we can bring him out and change it, but you've got a Mikey in your life. Who's your Mikey? Think about it this evening. Who's your Mikey? Who's your Mikey? You've never told him about Christ. Brother Joe, grab me a bunch of Bible tracts, as many as you can. You've never told him about Christ. The Bible says that of the witches of the rich man, the Bible says, verses Luke 16, verses 27 and 28, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, just lay him on the... Yeah, just lay them on the table here, whenever you get them. It says, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send them into my father's house, for I have five brethren. Maybe your Mikey's already died. Maybe you have another Mikey. Maybe you have multiple Mikeys. But you know what? As long as there's a breath in that person's body, and the trumpet has a sound, and you're still alive, and then there is still hope. There is still hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. In fact, turn there. First Timothy. Last verse this evening. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's you. That's talking about every one of us. God has entrusted the responsibility of the gospel with you and I. And we don't have any Bible tracts. That's okay. That's all right. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around. Do you have a Mikey? Somebody that you've never told about Christ. If they died right now, they'd go to hell. And I know it's their choice, but you've never told them. If you have a mic and you say, I need to pray for that person, what I want you to do is I want you to get up from where you're sitting right now come down to the altar. I believe we probably all have one person that we know. Or even if you have 12, just lay them there. Put them on the altar or something. You need some tracks? Come and get some. You can be seated if you want, Brandon. Be seated if you want. Do you have a Mikey? Somebody that you've never told about Christ. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Or somebody, maybe you have told them about him before, but it's been a while and you want to talk to them about it again. The invitation time is open. It's your invitation now, Pastor.
Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Oh, folks, listen, it's real. It's real. Word of God's not lying. It's real. People that die without Christ are going to hell. Going to hell. It's just temporary. It's just temporary. One day they'll be cast into the lake of fire. That's forever. That's eternal. Hell's just a temporary place, kind of like the county jail, waiting to go to the judge. Judge sentenced them to the penitentiary. That's what's going to happen. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Listen, if we believe it, how can we not tell people? How can we not tell people? We have to. You say, well, I'm not very good. Neither am I. But we can tell people. At least folks won't point their finger at us. At least they'll say, yeah, you told me. I rejected it. I can't blame you. But every one of us probably, without a doubt, will have somebody look at us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There may be somebody here tonight who would say, preacher, talking about going telling people. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to pray for you. I want to let you know that we care about you. I want to let you know that we can help you. We can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Is there somebody here tonight who would say, preacher, will you pray for me? I don't know for sure I'm going.